All of us who have been blessed with children understands what the word grow means. Webster defines it as to spring up and develop to maturity, increase or expand, develop. We see this in the newborn baby, which gains weight, learns to roll over, and is soon walking. We witness the toddler learn to speak, gain greater balance and ability to move about, then recognize colors, shapes, and numbers. We watch them go through the years of education, all the while gaining in size, strength, ability, and intellect. We see the carefree, frivolous, foolish years give way to the thinking, serious, desire for responsibility years, and rightly so. As parents, we wish to teach and train our children to become independent, self-thinking, self-sufficient individuals. We desire to groom them to become responsible adults. We want them to mature. We enjoy watching them grow. And not only in the physical realm or the social arena, but most important, in the spiritual realm. Growth in the right areas is a good thing. It is my objective to encourage you to develop spiritually, to become adults in Christianity, to mature in the things of God. So I speak to you a message rooted in 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 18 entitled, Grow in Grace. Grow in grace. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of being in your house, and I ask that you would just set apart our thoughts from the mind, from the things in the of the world, that we would be mindful of you. Let us not be distracted by anything, that, Lord, we would just focus today. And Lord, we ask that you would move by your Spirit, speak to our hearts, and help us as we look into these things, that we, as your children, would be drawn closer to you, that, Lord, that it would truly be our desire to grow in grace, and that you would grant that to be upon us, that we might be found to be mature Christians, godly, holy individuals for your honor and for your glory. We do ask for those in our midst that are lost, that we know that the greatest need they have is a relationship with you, and we pray that you would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus and grant unto them repentance and faith that they might be saved even today. So we pray for the lost that they might be saved, and the saved that we might be strengthened. And above all, we pray that you might be honored and glorified as we endeavor to worship you in spirit and in truth. And so we commit these things to you, and we love you today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Grow in grace. The consideration for this message came from a post I saw on Facebook. It comes from a girl who was a teenager when I was in college. She writes about her situation with her husband who is dying from cancer. I have not seen nor heard from these people in over 30 years, but her words stuck in my heart. I knew both of these kids when they were in junior high and high school. They were typical kids attending a Christian academy. By this I mean they were carefree, jolly, half-thinking, half-serious, typical teenagers. Still learning, still growing, showing some maturity, but doing things that demonstrate otherwise, and wanting responsibility, but not knowing quite what to do with it. You know what I mean. Yet further, these kids were those who were blessed with Christian parents, who grew up in church and had opportunity for a Christian education. But back then, in those teenage years, they showed little concern for Christ or for the things of God. And one might even wonder if they were saved or not. Well, zoom ahead these 30 plus years and hear her words. And I quote, "As I sit in the hospital beside Chris's bed and watch his chest rise and fall with each breath, my heart is overwhelmed with love for this man. God has blessed us beyond measure, and I am so very thankful. So many have asked for an update on Chris, and I haven't known what to say. I still do not know what to say, but I beg you to pray. We are crying out to God for a miracle and know that He is capable. However, we also know that that isn't always His will. We truly desire to glorify God in this, and we want Him to have His will in our lives. Dear friends, never before have I experienced just how difficult it is to truly pray, 'Not my will, but thine.' Please pray that God would give us grace, discernment, and wisdom in the coming weeks. Romans 8:26, Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. End of quote. Dear friends, this is not the silly teenage girl that I once knew. It is a serious-minded, loving, faithful, mature Christian woman. A person does not write as she does without a relationship with God, one that has reached a level of maturity, faith, and great trust. And though I am saddened at their situation, I rejoice that God is honored. Christ is exalted, and it is clearly evident that they have grown in grace. Oh, that God would grant us grace to possess such growth. May we mature in Him. May we learn to trust our God and claim the promises of His Word and surrender to His will. And come what may, let us not waver in our faith. Let us not flee. Rather, let us be drawn to Him in greater love and security. Grow in grace. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. We want to notice, first of all, the subject of growth. But, Peter writes, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in grace. The word grow in the text means exactly that. It is to cause to grow. It is to increase. The form of this Greek word is found 22 times in the New Testament Scriptures. You will find it in the English language as grow or grew or some form of that 13 times. And you'll see it translated as the word increase or some form of that the other 9 times. This word means to grow then. We know that. It makes sense to know what this term is. But it's also in the imperative. This is a command. Peter writes and he says, but grow in grace. But as we think about this word grow, I would like to offer unto you some other verses which indicate the same thing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Your faith groweth exceedingly. My friend, your faith ought to grow. Turn, if you would, to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11 down through verse 15, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, speaking a little bit in this passage about the people that were given in their positions and why they were placed in that position, or the effect or the impact of which they have. You'll understand as we read the passage. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he that descended is the, or verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You've seen several things in that passage there about maturity, about growth, about development. When you look back into verse 12, you'll find that he's talking about the maturation of the saints, for the perfecting of the saints. These people serve and minister so that the believers might mature. In verse 12, he also says it's the building up or the edifying of the church. And in verse 13, unto the knowledge of the Son of God. You want to increase in knowledge. Our text says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to know more about Jesus today than you did when you were first saved. So unto the knowledge of the Son of God. Verse 13 calls it a perfect man, one who's complete in Him, one who is in the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, in the negative, don't be children anymore. Don't be tossed about. Don't be led astray. But rather then in verse 15, by the truth that you may grow up unto Him. That, grow in grace. That's what Paul expresses in the passage. Go back to chapter 1, book of Ephesians, chapter 1. As a related passage, and earlier on as Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he offers this prayer in their behalf. And so we pick it up there in verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." And what did he pray for them about? "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." I'm going to stop right there. But we find in verse 17, he says, "My prayer for you is that you might have wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." Peter said, "Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 18 talked about the understanding. Have some understanding. And then in verse 18, also the matter of experience and what he desires for us. He has a plan for you. You want to experience that. And then verse 19, you also want to possess the exceeding greatness of his power. You don't get that if you don't grow. You must desire to grow in grace. One other passage, Colossians chapter 1. Book of Colossians chapter 1. Paul writing to the church at Colossae states in verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increase in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." What's he saying to them? Pretty much like he said to the church at Ephesus, but it's filled, you want to be filled with the knowledge and understanding. You want to walk worthy, verse 10 says. You want to be pleasing unto the Lord, again in verse 10. You want to be fruitful in all areas, verse 10. And increase in the knowledge and strength. That's growth, isn't it? That's maturity. That's development. Go back to our passage, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Grow, my friend. Grow in the grace and the knowledge. Grow. One of the commentators said, and I quote, "The life of a Christian is growth. He is at first born of God, and as a little child, becomes a young man and a father in Christ." End of quote. We want to grow. We want to develop. We want to mature. And we want to grow in grace, another commentator said, and I quote, "Religion in general is often represented as grace, since every part of it is the result of grace or unmerited favor. And to grow in grace is to increase in that which constitutes true religion. Religion is as susceptible of cultivation and of growth as any other virtue of the soul." He goes on to say, ordinarily, men in religion are what they are, are designed to be. In other words, if they want to be a certain thing, that's what they're going to be. They have about as much religion as they wish and possess about the character which they intend to possess. It's up to you, my friend. You can be immature in the things of God, or you can develop, you can grow, you can become mature in the things of Christ. Now in our text he says, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Who he is, what he has done, what his will is. You want to know Jesus. You want to become intimate with him more and more. Understand Christ. Love him. And so Peter writes, "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Now, when you think about this growth that Peter expresses, this is adverse to not growing. I mean, really, truly, what kind of options do you have? Either grow or you don't grow. And so he says, you want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, but what did he just forewarn them about? You have to back up to verse 17. "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of your wicked, of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. He says, seeing you know these things before, you understand these things, you've been taught these things. However, within the same epistle of which he writes, there are some things that he indicates. Go back to chapter 1. Because the fact of the matter is, if they've taken an examination, some people have withered, if I may express it that way. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That's somebody that didn't grow very well. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Because the truth is, when you look into the second chapter here in 2 Peter, you know that there are false prophets. He tells them that, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. He not only addresses the fact that some people have withered and haven't developed very well in chapter 1, he talks about false prophets and false teachers and how that some have been seduced by them. So you look into verse 2 and verse 3. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Fact is, some Christians will go astray under false teaching. He warns them about that. And so if you'll skip over to chapter 3 and look into verse 14, we just jump ahead and find that Peter desires that Christians will have better response than that. In response to the judgments of the world and what's going to happen in the future. But he pick it up in verse 14. He says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Grow in grace. It's a way in which you ought to live. Why? You skip back down to verse 17 again. He says, beware lest ye also being led away with that error. You could be led astray. Don't be. So in verse 18 he says, and fall from your own steadfastness. Don't do that. But instead, verse 18, instead, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do not go astray. Do not be led away. Do not fall, but grow, grow, grow. It should be the heartfelt desire of every believer to want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. You know, Peter even expressed this earlier. If you go back to the first chapter once again, just notice quickly, chapter 1, look at verse 5. Talk about spiritual growth. He says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. That's growth, isn't it? That's maturity. That's development. Peter writes to these people, and he says, don't you do like so many, but you grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now the second point of my message is, I want to offer you, I'm sure there are others, but I want to offer you five means of growth. I'm going to give you five ways you can grow in grace. So if you think about that and you go, boy, I really would like to grow in grace. Well, I'm going to offer you five things. First of all, number one, turn if you would to 2 Timothy, chapter 2. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. I submit unto you, if you want to grow, then one of the things you'll need to do is you need to have formal learning. Formal learning. Paul writes to Timothy, and he tells him and commands them, 2 Timothy chapter 2, very familiar verse. Verse 15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, back there in 1 Peter chapter 2, when Peter wrote to that first epistle in there in 1 Peter 2, 2, do you know what he says? He says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And dear Christian, I would exhort you, I would encourage you, of all that is within me, you need to get into the book, you need to read the Word, you need to hear it preached, you need to study it, you want to learn God's Word. Why? Because that's part of spiritual growth. You have to have formal learning. Study to show yourself approved unto God. And I'm telling you, dear friend, if you ignore the book, if you will not read it, if you will not study it, if you will not put it into practice, if you will not hear it preached, if you will not hear it taught, then you know what happens? You are not going to grow as God intends for you to grow. I guarantee you, you'll wane as a Christian. You want to get into the book. You want to love the Word of God. If you would happen to go back to our passage in 2 Peter, in the verses before our text, he makes reference to Paul's writings and how important those writings were. I submit unto you, dear friend, you want to grow in grace. One thing you'll need to do is you're going to have to develop a love for the Word of God. Do not ignore it. Read it. I encourage you to read it every day. Get into it. You say, I just don't care for it. If you're a Christian, you will not grow. You will be stunted. And when you get old and you look back over your life, you'll go, what in the world did I do? And how did I waste my life and squander it for Jesus Christ? And part of that is because you never bothered to get into the book. Formal learning, number one. Second, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You want to grow? Then I submit unto you. And if you'll just think about these things, it's just very logical. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. We're going to read it in just a second. You want to grow? You need to have some observation. You need to learn to observe. You don't have to experience everything. You can get from observation. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11 will tell us this. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon the ends whom the ends of the world are come. Talking about all the events of the Old Testament scriptures, he said all these things are written for our example. You don't have to go back and go through everything Moses went through or Daniel went through or Solomon or any of the Old Testament characters. You don't have to go through and experience all that stuff. You can read it. And you can learn by observation. You can look around you and learn by observation. I mean, if I see my next door neighbor go out there and back his car into the tree, I can observe. You know what? That damages your vehicle. I should not back my car into the tree. I can observe my neighbor's actions and learn from him. I don't have to go through it. You don't have to go through all the things that every experience that life has to offer. Can't you learn from the experience of others? I've stood by the bedside of way too many people that destroy their lives physically in the hospital. And yet people will go out and do the very same things. And not me, friend. Not me. I've seen what it does. I learn by example. I don't have to go through that to learn it. I learn by watching them. And I've seen people die. Observation. Turn, if you would, to a related passage, Romans chapter 15. You want to grow, you're going to have to observe. Learn by observation. Not just everything in the book. We know there's more than that. You can learn by observation. You can be taught by watching others. Romans chapter 15 kind of combines the both of these elements of which we've discussed. Verse 4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope." Observation! These things were written for us. But you know, if you don't read the Scriptures, you can't know them, and so you're not going to be able to apply it because you never read it before. And woe it is when you'll find things in the Scriptures that exactly are equivalent to what you're going through, but you've never read it. And you could find grace and strength and help and direction through the Word of God if you'd only look into the book. You look into the book, you can learn by observation as well. So these two things that will help us to grow. It's true in life, and it's true in the spiritual realm. Formal learning and observation. Number three, go back to Romans chapter 5. This is one of the best ways to learn and one of the best ways to grow. Romans chapter 5. You know what it is? What's number three? Experience. Some of you go through the school of hard knocks. Sometimes that's the only way we'll ever learn. We're too hard-hearted, too stubborn. We're not going to get the instruction of our parents or our pastor or somebody else. We're going to have to learn it on our own. And God says, if that's the way you want to learn it, I can teach you that way. But I'm telling you, that's not the best way to learn. You'd rather learn by observation. You'd rather learn by book. But if not, you can get experience and you can learn from your experience. Do you learn from your experience? Oh, I remember as a kid. You say, well, you're dumb. Well, all kids are dumb. I remember sticking my finger in a light socket. You know, you just shake all over the place and that bolt goes through there, you know. Well, I learned from that. You know, unless you like that, don't do that again. Experience. You learn from experience, don't you? Romans chapter 5, verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Learn from your experience. Grow from your experience. And I admit there are some things you will not learn any other way. You're just going to have to go through it. And you're going to have to see what God does and what God did do and how He brought you through it and how He comforted you and how He directed you and how He used other people and on in your experience. You just have to go through it. But I'll tell you, my friend, learn from it. Learn from it. Why would you repeat it over and over and over again? You haven't learned, have you? I'll tell you something I learned. I know I tell myself all the time. I want you to know I'm just like you. Now, you may not have been as dumb as I was, but I wasn't real bright, I guess, when I was a kid. But this is one thing I did. I'll tell on myself. But I learned from experience. One day, me and a friend were out there, and I can't remember if we were cutting grass or whatever, and we had a gas can. We wanted to see how much gas was in that gas can. So, kid pulls out a box of matches and a match pack, you know. So we light a match, and we're tilting that gas can, looking in there with the match, trying to see how much gas is in the gas can. My dad saw that from the window. He come flying out the back door. He came out there, and that's the only time he's ever kicked me. But my dad kicked me in the seat of the pants. Whoa! And said, what are you thinking? How stupid can you be? Here we are turning the gas can over with a match trying to see how much gas is in it. That's how stupid kids can be. It's how stupid adults can be, too, because some of you do some things that are similar to it. It's just not quite like that. But experience, I've never looked into a gas can again with a match. I have got zipped by electricity, though. I just don't get over that one. Experience. You want to grow? Will you learn from your experience? Hebrews chapter 12, point number 4. Some of you are saying, man, I can't believe you're our pastor. But I learned from it. Hebrews chapter 12. You want to grow? Chastisement. Chastisement, discipline, punishment. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 through verse 10 talks about the chastisement. To pick it up in verse 11. And he says, now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but afterward grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Told you my dad came out and kicked me by the seat of my pants. That was chastisement. Today they'd throw him in jail. But I needed a kick in the pants. That was just dumb. Chastisement. We need to be chastened. We need to be disciplined. And you know what? Sometimes, my dear friend, God is chastening you and you will not perceive it. You will not learn from it. You will not grow from it. God's tapping you on your shoulders and you just refuse to listen. And you know what's going to happen? God is going to get louder and He's going to get stronger and He's going to become more forceful. Do you know why? Because He loves you and He wants that corrected. I'm a chicken. If He tapped me on my shoulder, I want to respond to that. I would rather learn from the tap than a stronger thing. When I grew up, my parents would always give me a verbal warning, about most of the time anyway, give me a verbal warning and then followed up with a paddle. Yeah, I got paddled and I needed it too. So yeah, I know, you lighten up gas can. I'm so glad for the discipline that I've received. Because I needed it. But I would rather respond to the voice. You know how they do. Parents will often just say the full name. That stern, you know. First, it's don't do that. You go your merry way. Then it's Robert Douglas. You ignore that. Next thing is a paddle. You're doomed. And don't ever laugh. You ever do that? Laugh while you're getting disciplined? Not a good thing. Chastisement. You know what you can learn from that? And God writes and He tells us and He says, nevertheless, it's not fun when you go through it. Nobody likes it. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Those who have gone through it will learn and grow and develop because of it. That's what discipline will do. That's what chastisement will do. The word yieldeth in the text means to render a due. It is to recompense or to give back. The word can be translated as the idea of paying a debt. And what it is, that chastisement is an investment that should have a return. And so as parents, we teach our children, don't put your hand on that burner. You're going to burn your hand. Don't stick your hand in the light socket. Don't play in the street. Don't go here. Don't do this. Don't hang with these people. And we'll chasten them. Why? Because it's necessary to help them, to correct them. We want them to grow. Problem we have in our society is we have a nation that refuses to discipline. And there's no understanding and there's no growth and no maturity because they never understood it was wrong to do what they're doing. What a shame. Turn, if you would, back to Ephesians chapter 5. Number 5 is this, and I'll be finished. Where I'll draw my conclusion. I submit unto you, if you want to grow in grace, you're going to have some formal learning. You're going to need observation. You're going to need experience. You're going to need chastisement. And the last thing I submit unto you that will help you to grow is it's a matter of submission. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Being filled with the Spirit, being controlled by the Spirit, be submissive to Him. You want to grow? You're going to need to learn, observe, experience, receive the chastisement, and then say, "God, what is it you're teaching me? I'll be glad to respond." And I do that when things come upon me. I ask God, "God, what are you trying to show me? What are you teaching me?" I'd rather get it the first time than get it the second or the third. I'd rather get it through the right away. Some will not grow because you will not submit. You're going to do life your way. You're going to choose what you want. You're going to be what you wish. And God's not even a consideration. And if you as a child of God choose to be rebellious, then you will not grow. Because you're not going to formal learn. You don't care about those kind of things. You're not going to glean from the observation because you're too dull-witted. You're not going to learn from your experience because you're too hard-hearted. And a chastisement, you don't really care. That's worth it for you. You can do that if you wish. You can go that route if you desire, but you're not going to grow. You're going to become stagnant. And we already referred to you some of those verses in Peter where he says, you know what, you fall away, you're led away. You may not even be saved, he says. Grow in grace. Grow in grace. And the fifth way to do that is through submission. In conclusion then, I've offered you five means of growth. In conclusion, spiritual growth, I just submit this to you, spiritual growth is natural. Spiritual growth is desirable. Spiritual growth is expected. The good news is spiritual growth is possible. It's possible. But it demands commitment and it demands investment or involvement. Peter gave a command, you grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But although commanded to grow, it must be a work of Jesus through His Spirit. John 15:5 says, without me you can do nothing. So I don't know how I can do that then. I'm commanded, but I can't do it. Yeah, but Christ will do it through you. What you need to do is surrender to the Lord and strive to grow. Ask God, God, cause me to grow in the grace and knowledge of you. And like prayer, we should seek, ask, and knock. You want to grow. And I submit unto you, my dear friends, if you aren't growing in the right thing, you are stagnant or you're growing in the wrong thing. Desire to grow in the right thing. And lastly, true growth in grace and knowledge will be evident to those around you. They'll know. And you want that testimony. So I ask you, will you ask God to grant you spiritual growth so that you may be obedient to the command of our text? Will you be so bold to ask Him? Grow in grace. In closing, I return to the precious couple I mentioned at the start. Her words manifest growth and development, a spiritual maturity which surpasses many. As taught in the Word, she is thankful for what God has done for them. She truly prays and asks for prayer. She knows who God is, the sovereign God of the universe, and that He could heal, but He may not. She also recognizes that He doesn't have to. She states that they both desire to glorify God through these very difficult circumstances, and they only want God's will to be done. And then in humility, she requests, please pray that God would give us grace, discernment, and wisdom in the coming weeks. And finally, she offers a promise from Scripture, the great truth found in Romans 8:26. This, my friends, is an excellent example of two giddy teenagers who, because of their relationship with Christ, have through the years grown into mature Christians. They have grown in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as a result, in the greatest trial of their lives, they face it with grace and dignity. And more importantly, for the honor and glory of God. Oh, that we might likewise grow in grace. Let's stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? God in heaven, we commit this time to you today, and I pray that you'd work in every heart. We ask you to save the lost, strengthen the saved. Lord, we pray that we might, as your children, desire to grow in grace, and may your hand rest upon us, that it should be accomplished. May your will be done today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Paul, what number?
Number 4, page 4.